Oh no. I think it's my turn. Gosh. I'm not prepared for this. Christmas Eve just kind of snuck up on me. And now I have to preach a sermon. I'm not ready to preach a sermon. I don't know what I'm going to do. I know. I got it. Hey, Nancy. Do we have any more Christmas songs we could sing?
No, Pastor. It's your turn.
Oh, okay. Maybe if I just sit here, no one will notice. Everyone's staring at me. Oh, I know what I'll do. Hey, Leroy, could you help me out a second? There's a big green storage container just on the other side of that door over there. Can you get it for me? Thanks. Yeah, that's it. All right, if you could just slide it right over there, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Just right over there. That'd be good. That's good right there. Thanks. Oh, just one more thing. I'm just gonna grab a pillow. If you could, after I get in there, I got my pillow, my snack. Close me in. I'm going to just lie down inside there. If you could just close me in here. Maybe I can hide. Okay. Pillow, snack in case I get hungry. All right, that'll be good. All right, I'm ready. No, the other way. Other way. Just put the lid there on top there. That's perfect. There we go. All right. There we go. That's perfect. Now, I can just... All right, stay in here, and no one will know where I am. It's kind of dark in here. I can't even see to eat my snack. I'd probably get crumbs all over me, and it'd just make a mess. Maybe if I reach into my... I thought I saw a flashlight in here. Oh, there it is. I got a light! My own personal flashlight! Now I'm set, and I'll be able to... Well, shucks. The batteries went dead. Now my light went out. It's kind of lonely in here, too. All by myself. But at least I'm safe, right? I'm not exposed. Nobody can see me! Man, if they could really see me, I'm afraid they'd... kind of hate me. I'm not perfect. Pastors are supposed to be perfect. I'm not quite as comfortable as I thought it would be, though. Maybe if I put my pillow right here. No, that's not any better. Well, this isn't working so well. I just thought that if I could hide in here a bit, I could get out of preaching a sermon. Out of sight, out of mind, you know? I don't think it's going to work, though. In fact, I think everyone can still hear me. Can y'all hear me out there? Yeah. Darn. Well, I guess this isn't going to work, so I might as well come out and preach. Oh, not as young as I used to be. All right. Oh. Well, we'll just kind of slide this over here. There we go. Whew. Do you ever just want to curl up and hide? Maybe it's because you're trying to get out of a responsibility. Maybe it's because you're insecure in who you are and you don't quite feel prepared for life. Maybe it's just because you know you've sinned. You know God is the judge. I think sometimes we all get that way. And sometimes we're enablers. We're the ones who go and get the container for someone else so that they can hide. Instead of encouraging them to stay in the light, we let them hide in the dark. We feel kind of bad about it, but we don't really know how to help them. Well, whatever the case, Christmas shows us the way out of the darkness. Though our hearts were dark because of our sin, Jesus came into the world to save us from our sin. In Him, there is no darkness, no sin. And in Him, even our sin is washed away. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, the light, into our darkness. Thank you for saving us from our sins as we trust in Jesus. And help us not to prefer darkness, but to walk in your light. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage I read in Matthew ended with the last prophecy in the Bible regarding the birth of Jesus. We know it's the last prophecy regarding the birth of Jesus because right after we read this prophecy, we read about the birth of Jesus. So it's the last prophecy regarding the birth of Jesus because it came right before the birth of Jesus. It says, you shall bear a son, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I think it's really cool how the last prophecy about the birth of Jesus echoes what we often refer to as the first prophecy of the coming Jesus. It's often said that the first prophecy of Jesus Christ is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It says, well, after Adam and Eve sinned, he says this to the serpent. He says, I will put enmity between you and the serpent, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God promised the serpent, Satan, that the descendant Satan, or the descendant of Eve would bruise the heel of Jesus, and that happened on the cross when Jesus had to die. But then also, it proved only to be a bruise on his heel, a minor setback, because that same act of Jesus dying on the cross bruised the serpent's head. It crushed Satan, because Jesus rose from the dead, saved us from our sin, and made it possible that all who trust in Him to have eternal life. What an awesome prophecy of the Savior in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But I think there's an even earlier illustration of the coming of Jesus Christ in the Bible. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, the opening verses of Scripture. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Jesus would later say, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light that pierces the darkness. He is the truth that illuminates our hearts and lives. John chapter 1 says that He is the Word of God, and all things were made through Him. And it says that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, the only reason we can see anything or know anything or experience any life today is because Jesus is the light. Okay, I want to do a little thing. Everybody close their eyes. We're going to try something. Close your eyes. Are they closed? Close them real tight. Can you see anything? Keep them closed. Don't open them until I tell you to, okay? I want you to try to notice something that's going to happen. It's going to be really subtle, so pay attention, okay? Did you see it?
Yes.
Did you see it? Okay, open your eyes. What happened? Now, did you see it, though? Yes, you did. You did, didn't you? If you were paying attention, you did see it. Now, how did you see it? It got darker. Now, I told you to close your eyes, make sure you couldn't see anything, and yet, when I asked you if you saw it, you saw it. Why? Because there was actually still a glimmer of light passing through your eyelids, right? You couldn't keep all the light out. As hard as you tried to stay in darkness, there was still a glimmer of light coming through. And in the same way, no matter how dark your world becomes, no matter how dark it seems, Jesus is still the light. He's still there. And He invites you to open your eyes so that you can see Him, so that you can live in His light and truth. I didn't grab a candle. Can you grab me one back there? That opening your eyes is actually repentance. If somebody could grab a candle and bring it up for me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Go ahead and grab your own too. See, that opening your eyes and seeing the light that you did, in the theological terms, that's called repentance. When you agree with God that the light is good, that you open your eyes, that you agree with God that He is good, because Jesus is the light, that's called repentance. And you get a light inside of you. But so often we're clenching our eyes, not wanting to see the light, thinking that darkness is better. And when we continue to do that, we get what we want. It gets darker. Our sin so consumes us that we forget how good the light is. How good God is. Okay, we're going to try something else one more time. Everyone close your eyes again. Now close your eyes. Now turn to your neighbor and give them a high five. Give them the best high five you can. Do it harder. Do it again. All right, do it again. Harder. Okay, stop. Stop. You open your eyes. You're good. Open your eyes. Now, let me light one up. It's a high five is good, right? High fives are good. That's how we show each other that we like each other, that we affirm each other. But some of you guys were actually, whenever you started doing that, you were hitting each other on the head. That's not so good, is it? See, sometimes being in the dark causes us to take a good thing and make it bad. Jesus is the light, and He's good, but sometimes our sin makes us want to cast Him off as if He wasn't good. You see, in the beginning, when God said, "Let there be light," what He was really saying was, "Let my glory shine throughout the universe. Let them see my goodness. Let them see my beauty. Let them see my salvation." And when Jesus was born, the angels appeared singing, "Glory to God in the highest. See His goodness, see His beauty, see His salvation." And the name Jesus literally means God saves. He is the light of the world. But Jesus also told His disciples, "You are the light of the world." Do you see what that means? It means that we don't have to live in darkness anymore. Because Jesus was born, because He died, because He rose, He gives us light. And the light in us, the life in us, is His life, His light living in us. And so often His light shines in us so that others can see Jesus in us. And they themselves will embrace the light. And we pass it along so that everyone sees the light and everyone has a chance to receive the light. And everyone who receives the light, to them, Jesus becomes a light in them so that the whole world can see that Jesus is the light of the world. And all this begins when you trust in Jesus. You see, you can choose to live in darkness if you want. You can crawl into your container and shut yourself in, or you can live in the light, God's light. Even if it means having your sin exposed, having to admit that you're a sinner, which seems like a big deal if you've never admitted your sin before God before, because it is a big deal to rebel against God, your creator, the light. And yet, for those who live in God's light, to Christians, while we know that sin is a big deal, we also know it's not a deal breaker, because Christ was born to die for our sin. And even his birth reminds us of that. Remember what the angel told Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the only question is, are you his people? Coming to church doesn't make you his people. Holding a candle doesn't make you his people. Even saying that you're a Christian all of your life doesn't make you his people. You're his people, God's people, when you truly trust in Jesus Christ, when you receive him as your Savior, your Lord, when you allow the baby Jesus to be born into, to be born in your manger, into your darkness, into your filth, so that he will shine through you. After our service this evening, if you've never come to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, pull me aside and say, I want to trust in Jesus and be saved from my sin. And this can be the first Christmas in which you truly know the meaning of Jesus' name, that God saves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we have a Savior that came to die for our sin, that we can be found in him, that we can live in his light, that we can live in your light of life, the light of the world, and we can be light to the world. God, thank you for Christmas every year, which reminds us of why he came. That he came and why he came, all rolled up into one, because the birth of Jesus matters nothing unless he also died for our sin. And just as Jesus rose from the grave, came out from the tomb, came out from darkness, I pray that we also would follow him, that we would come out of our own darkness and follow Christ all of our lives. God, I pray that this would be a meaningful time for families, for Christians, for all of the world to reflect on Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.